Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We have Phil Imbrogno, author of Files from the Edge, a paranormal investigator's explorations into high strangeness, and we're dealing with that right now. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. Before we split for that particular pause in our action here, Phil, we were talking about the impact of other dimensions, but at the beginning of your book, you have kind of a short science lecture about what other dimensions signify. Maybe give our listeners kind of a brief summary of this before Chris picks up on the questioning.
Okay. Well, you know, what we call theoretical physics today was science fiction a few years ago. I mean, this is nothing new. Science fiction writers were telling us that there were these other dimensions, other parallel universes, before they started showing up in the equations of the theoretical physicists. And really, in a nutshell, you know, there's many different views of the universe. And the first thing we have is we have a parallel universe. And a parallel universe is our universe is all the galaxies and everything contained in sort of like a bubble. There are other universes out there with enough matter that also curve it around and make these bubbles. Imagine smoke, soap bubbles. And some of these bubbles sometimes stick together as you blow the bubbles. These bubbles that are joined to each other are parallel universes, and at times they're connected through wormholes. Now, in each of these bubble universes, in each one of them, there are at least 11 dimensions. In other words, we're in the third dimension here, but they're telling us now there are other dimensions within the physical universe. These aren't areas where spirits live or, you know, all this, you know, stuff here that people are talking about in the psychic realm. These are actual physical spaces, physical worlds, physical places that exist in the same area, but sort of like in another angle from us, an angle that we can't turn to. When you walk around in your room, you're walking along three-dimensional space. But in that room also are other dimensions which you cannot turn to because you're locked in to your own physical spatial area. But these other areas exist at a right angle to a right angle, maybe, an area that you can't see, you can't turn to walk into. So imagine that the multiverse, there's no privacy in the multiverse because in that room there could be a multitude of beings in other dimensions. Maybe they can perceive you, maybe they can't. But at times it sounds like they do visit people.
Oh, boy. That would make the average paranoid person.
Clothes off.
Exactly. I was going to say, we could have multidimensional peeping Toms all over the place.
Well, that could be the case. Because, you know, if you talk about shadow people, these people seeing these images coming in at night, to me, these represent other dimensional beings pressing against the fabric of the dimension, which they seem to have the ability. We only see them as vague shadows. Now, imagine a sheet hanging out there on a line that's pulled very tight. If a person gets on the other side of the sheet and presses up against the sheet, you only see the outline of the person. You can't see who it is or their facial features. These cases of shadow people, which I've investigated quite a few, I have quite a few reports in the Hudson Valley, they seem to be dimensional beings that are interested in certain people and watching them, observing them, for whatever reason, I don't know, but we only see their images pressing up against the dimensional barrier, their silhouette, their outline.
Right. Well, I want to remind our listeners here that we're not, you know, we're talking with someone that has advanced degrees in earth sciences, astronomy, and chemistry. So I do take your thumbnail sketch of the multiverse scenario. I do take it as an informed opinion, and I do agree with you in this regard. One of the things that I noticed reading the book is, You mentioned some very interesting scenarios that involved underground cavern systems and mines that existed back in the 1800s that secretly have been expanded by what appears to be some sort of governmental presence. Do you want to go into that a little bit? I know you've had some pretty interesting investigations that have to do with some of the underground scenario there in the area.
Oh, yeah, you know, and I actually get into that in greater detail. I have a book coming out in December called Ultraterrestrial Contacts, and I get into the underground tunnels in greater detail. But in several of these areas in the Hudson Valley where these magnetic anomalies exist, the areas are catacombed by underground tunnels. And these tunnels were originally used during colonial times going into the 19th century for mining out iron ore. As a result, many legends have been built around them. I mean, the folklore around these tunnels is unbelievable, that date back to the early 19th century and late 18th century, about globes of light, strange hooded beings. We know for a fact that at the turn of the century, turn of the 20th century, a group of local devil worshippers actually took one of these tunnels and used to perform rituals in them. And according to what I can find out in the local archives here, is that the local sheriff at the time, and back then that area, Putnam County, Brewster, New York, southeast New York, only had a sheriff. They have a sheriff today, but it's involved police. They actually said they dealt with them, and there's no more mention of them. It's almost, you know, it seems like, you know, a hanging was done or something, because they were accused of, for a number of children who disappeared over the years in that area, even though there was no evidence. But the thing is that these people used to dress up with hoods, and we don't exactly know how many of them there were, but in that area, and no one knows of this, this is like one of the best kept secrets in that area. People have gone out to those areas where the mines are and where all of these UFOs are being spotted and the magnetic anomalies occur, and have seen hooded beings on the road that bear a striking resemblance to the way these cultists used to dress up back in like 1901. Now, the thing is that all of these underground passages exist. Most of them have been sealed up. And the strange thing is that downtown Brewster, it's being built up. It's a growing town. People are moving in there. The old residents have disappeared practically. But a lot of people who bought those old houses don't realize that their basement connects to an underground tunnel and a network of tunnels underground. These people have no idea that right under the town, it's catacombed by underground passages. Now, I've explored all of them. In one particular instance, in one of the entrances to the tunnels, it's flooded with water, and I had to raft in the tunnels. And this is where all of this phenomena is taking place and everything. And I'll tell you, it's pretty spooky down there because the levels go down to 300 feet. But as I put the raft in and I'm slowly going down the tunnel, the water is red from the iron ore, so it looked pretty eerie when the lights reflected on it. As soon as I go down a tunnel area, I come to a writing on the wall that says, "Abandon hope, all ye who enter your own gateway to hell." This was evidence to me where these cultists were using the part of this mine for their rituals. So not only did I find the evidence that these people existed and they did their thing back in 1901, I actually found the area where they were doing their rituals, and the water level was right up to the writing. So it was written when there was no water in that particular part of the tunnel. And I'll tell you, in there, before I went in there, I went down to New York City, and I found a map, an overlay of all the tunnels that were dug there back in the mining days from 1780 all the way up to 1902.
I'll tell you what, we'll get into more of that in a moment. Phil Imbrogno joining us. Chris O'Brien is our co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast.
You are about to enter another dimension. A dimension not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a sinister land of secret rites, passwords, initiations, and handshakes, where the truth remains hidden and history is controlled by an elite group of mysterious men. Imagine, if you will, that I'm holding a book in my hands that explains this secret history, and that the name of this book is Conspiracies and Secret Societies, the Complete Dossier. Here is described centuries of dark dealing, lies, murder, mayhem, and cover-ups in the pursuit of unimaginable money and power. My name is Brad Steiger, and the stories you are about to read may have actually happened at the signpost up ahead. Your next stop, Conspiracies and Secret Societies, the Complete Dossier.
Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources, August 6, 2010. Gold opened this morning at $11.9620. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $12.2828, $6.1414 for a half ounce, or $3.0707 for the quarter ounce. That's $12.2828, $6.1414, and $3.0707.
Again, the Congressional Budget Office sounds the alarm, warning of Greek-style U.S. debt crises. CBO is drawing a parallel between U.S. economy and the Greek economic meltdown. Debt to GDP climbing to unfamiliar territory and deficits rising to unsupportable levels. Hi, Ted Anderson. The Federal Debt and Risk of Financial Crises document the CBO has published is a must-read for every American. Covering the risks of deficit spending, aging population, and rising interest rates spells economic disaster. Call today at 800-686-2237. I'll send it free. Again, call 800-686-2237. Ask for the CBO document. Call 800-686-2237.
Where have all the military surplus stores gone? Don't worry, you don't need one, because everything you need at Military Surplus is at MainMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, Military.com, one of the last surviving true military surplus stores in the country. Go online now to MainMilitary.com and discover a source for hard-to-find surplus items at true surplus prices. Surplus gun cleaning kits as low as $2.99, complete chemical suits as low as $11.99. See our huge selection of gas masks, filters, and accessories. Finish M10 gas masks are $3 for $30, and Swiss filters are $3 for $12. Searching for Strike Anywhere matches? MainMilitary.com has them, plus a whole new product line of survival and first aid kits and lots more. Get free shipping on orders over $50 only at MainMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, Military.com, or call 877-608-0179, 877-608-0179. MainMilitary.com, the main name in military supply.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or two sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
On air, online, and on demand.
They say we offer simple answers to complex problems.
We are the GCN Radio Network.
We want to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And if you want to catch up on past episodes, we have hundreds of shows for you to download direct from theparacast.com. That's theparacast.com. Or check us out on iTunes.
All right, we have Phil Imbrogno. He's author of Files from the Edge, a paranormal investigator's explorations into high strangeness. Chris O'Brien is our co-host this week. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. Now, one question occurs to me as you talk about these tunnels, these caverns used for various types of rituals. Is it possible they're still doing that nowadays in the 21st century?
I think it's very possible, but I don't think that the mines themselves, the tunnels, are being used, because you really have to understand how difficult they are to get into. Number one, because they're flooded with water. Number two is that in one particular area, you have to rappel down 150 feet to get to the lower level, and the amount of oxygen down there is very, very low. When I explored these things, I was a little younger than I am now, and I was in considerably better shape, but it was even difficult for me to explore these things. So I don't see anyone going in there today. But the thing is that, as I said, I had a map of all the tunnels from the New York City Public Library, the mining journals. I found tunnels that were not on that map that was listed for 1910, and these tunnels were dug with more modern equipment. And some of them went to dead ends, and they were collapsed on purpose and covered. In one particular area, I saw evidence of conduits going into the ground, obviously bringing in oxygen or water, whatever. But going down to that level was impossible because it was 300 feet down and it was flooded with water. So people have been reporting military vehicles going into the areas of the hills where the mine entrances are, have seen Chinook-type helicopters and other types of helicopters landing in the hills. And one person, a number of people, actually wrote to the New York Post saying that what's going on up in Brewster in Southeast, there's some type of military operation going on underground.
This occurs to me as you talk about this. There's a section in the book where you go down to explore an area, and you were basically accosted by the police and warned not to go there?
Yeah, so before I went into the mines, I was trying to find the location of some of these places which people were contacting me saying there are military vehicles going into the area. So I parked my car and I started walking up to an area called Upper Magnetic Mine Road. And it was blocked off, and I saw there's a definite path going up there. Before I even got 150 or 200 feet up the hill, the sheriff's department came up and yelled to me, and the officer was running up the thing saying, stop. And he's saying, you know, you can't go up there. That's, you know, secured area. And he really didn't know why. He was just getting orders just to get me out of there. And they actually took me out to Route 22 and made sure that I left. But actually, I came back sometime later, came in through the backwoods, and actually observed the area and actually saw what I thought were paramilitary or intelligence agency people coming up there, staying inside a house that connected to the mines.
Why did you think, Phil, that these were paramilitary or intelligence people?
Well, first of all, they came up in a Jeep, and I looked at the license plates. I was up on the hill, and I had binoculars, and although I could not see the license plate number, they had the white with the blue, which indicated the government license plate number, license plate color. And looking at these people, I can just tell. Look at them. They almost look like cops, you know, and you can say you're going to tell what a cop, but he's in civilian clothes because they dress the with a certain way. People in the intelligence organizations also have certain types of haircuts. They have a certain type of look, and they have a certain type of posture for them. They were obviously people with military background who could have been in civilian intelligence agencies. And having been in the military 6 years myself, I can spot military people right away, or people who are in the military for a certain length of time. They have a certain bearing to them. But they also, you know, had a number of dogs there. They had a number of buildings there. Later on, when I was able to get into that area, obviously after whoever was in that area, after they pulled out, I found the house which these individuals were coming in and out of, and it was completely dumped with everything ripped out. I found poles with wires connecting there for about 50 kilowatts of energy coming, electricity coming into that area. I found garages with all types of equipment in there that was obviously some type of mechanical operation. So there was somebody in that area there that had a pretty involved operation going on there. And since that location was right next to the entrance of the underground passageways, you know, you put two and two together.
Does it seem, though, rather clumsy of them to abandon this area and leave evidence that they were around?
Well, they didn't leave that much evidence. You really had to look for it and analyze the situation there to find out what type of operation was going on there. Whatever type of operation was going on there, it involved a lot of power, and it involved a lot of support equipment, and when they left, they trashed about as much as they could, and they just pulled out. So whatever was going on there, you know, I don't know, but it definitely had something to do with the underground passageways. Now, a little bit of a frightening thing is that when I finally was able to get into the underground passageways and I rappelled down and I was taking pictures with my camera, which was film camera at the time, after I took the number of pictures at the, I think the 175 to 200 foot level, the passages down there, there's three rows of passages. One underground passages are down about a little low, about 125 feet. Another one's about 175 feet. And the bottom one's down at 300 feet, which you can't get to because it's flooded. Anyway, when I developed my pictures, the entire row was fogged green. So, you know what that means? That means it was exposed to radiation.
Radiation, yeah.
My feeling was is that perhaps the United States government was taking nuclear waste or atomic waste or radioactive waste and burying it under the ground under the iron because they knew the radiation would not reach the surface. And they probably didn't think that some idiot like me is going to be going down there taking pictures and looking for something, looking for aliens or something.
You know, I wonder about that, Phil. Okay, you know, the joke here, you know, they don't expect an idiot like you to be looking for this stuff. Is it possible at all that they do know about you, that they're watching you? Have you seen the evidence of all the books you've written and the research you've done, that the military is looking at what Phil Imbrogno is doing and trying to either observe your behavior or maybe interfere with it? But before we have you answer that question, Phil Imbrogno joins us. He's author of Files from the Edge. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the PowerCast. As you know, the PowerCast is brought to you by Audible.com, the Internet's leading provider of audiobooks. With more than 75,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature and featuring audio versions of many New York Times bestsellers, for listeners of the PowerCast, Audible.com is offering a free audiobook to give you a chance to try out their service. One book to consider, for example, is Above Top Secret, The Worldwide UFO Cover-Up by Timothy Good. Timothy Good, as you know, has been a guest on the PowerCast. Yet another book worth considering from Audible.com is Lies and Deception, UFOs and the Secret Agenda, from Timothy Good once again, and also from our old friend Nick Pope. As you know, Nick Pope has also been on the PowerCast. This is another book that you're definitely going to want to check out. For this book or another free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/PowerCast. That's audiblepodcast.com/PowerCast.
Thousands of Americans are facing evacuation. If you or any of your loved ones might need to evacuate, you must do it yourselves. Please don't procrastinate until they do it for you. Remember the terrible conditions of those that didn't get out for Katrina. Go right now to efoodsdirect.com/Alex or call 800-409-5633 for information on the new Evacuation Pack. It contains 2 weeks of delicious, easy-to-fix food, along with the equipment to prepare it. It's packed in a rugged, heavy-duty tote for transport. Evacuations are looming with the storms and the Gulf oil catastrophe. No matter where you live, wildfires, earthquakes, floods, and storms must be escaped. Don't be like a deer frozen in the headlights of oncoming disaster. At least prepare yourself with this two-week evacuation pack from eFoodsDirect.com. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, eFoodsDirect.com/Alex.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a two-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for three decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
How do you spell hard-hitting talk radio? G-C-N. The Genesis Communications Radio Network.
You've entered another dimension. You've entered the Paracast.
We have Phil Imbrogno, who's going to answer the cliffhanger question in a moment. He's author of Files from the Edge. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberger in the Paracast. The question on the table, Phil, they aware of your activities? Are they watching you? Have you seen evidence of their presence?
No, I don't think anybody's watching me. I believe that at the time that I was poking around these underground passages that I was on camera. And probably if I went back there within a reasonable amount of time, I probably would have been arrested. The only time that I really had any type of government interference was during the Hudson Valley investigation. And during that time, I was contacted by the Air Force in relation to the sightings, the first civilian to be officially contacted by the United States Air Force since 1969. Also, you know, I was contacted by a member of the National Security Agency regarding the sightings. My involvement with the investigation of the UFOs over the Indian Point nuclear reactor also caused quite a bit of problems for me because it's a secure area and I was barraged by all kinds of letters and all kinds of phone calls and threats of criminal action from the Nuclear Regulatory Commission and even the Office of the Governor of New York.
Well, on what grounds, though, Phil?
The Attorney of New York. And
on what grounds?
On the grounds that I was told things by the guards that were involved in protection of the plant, who, by the way, aren't rent-a-cops. They're all ex-military, ex-New York State police officers, highly trained, that they told me things that was vital to the security of the plant. This is what they use to try to get me to shut up, to keep quiet. They even called my school and told my supervisor, the head of the school, that I was involved in an area of national security and that there were possible actions being taken against me, and they were trying to get them at that level to shut me up also. So this is why when anyone comes forward to me and says, you know, they've got all these secret documents, they have all this information from the government and so on, and they, you know, and nobody's bothering them, I just tapped into an area of national security, the reactor, the sightings over the reactor. But I got my ears pinned back right away. By the way, you know, the spokesman at the reactor finally admitted that they had sightings over there, and but they claimed that it no way affected the plant, which is not true. But I think they were more or less concerned about bad publicity because, a little funny side of the story, after the sightings over the reactor area, about 6 months later when it all finally came out and hit the fan, a number of anti-nuke activists who were always trying to shut down the plant had a rally outside the plant with over 1,000 people, and they were handing out copies of Night Siege. And
great.
Now listen to this. The section where the chapter called Incident at Indian Point, where it talks about the sightings of the UFO over the reactor, that was sort of like bookmarked, and they were saying, how can we expect these police officers to guard this plant from terrorists and so on? They're seeing flying saucers. So they try to use that to also shut down the plant. And that caused me quite a bit of problems too.
I've got a question. It kind of dovetails with one of the questions from the Paracast forum. One of the things that you don't hear much about when discussion of the Hudson Valley events from the 80s comes up is the cattle mutilation phenomenon. I understand that you did quite a bit of work trying to dig into ascertain the extent of these mutilation cases. And plus, there's an interesting little side note about the possibility of the government actually flying in livestock to potentially, I guess, replace livestock that had been mutilated. Could you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, well, after the UFO sightings and during the UFO sightings, there were multiple sheep mutilations and cattle mutilations in the area. And one of the things I found out during my investigation, I mean, this is very lengthy to talk for the next 3 hours on it, is that I found, through investigation, a secure area at Stewart Airfield, which is a part of an airport now, but there was an area off to the side that was fenced off with security thing, you know, the typical sign that says no trespassing, government installation, and so on. That area there was an old FAC field, where they used to put the planes underground, and when they wanted to launch the B-52s, they would come up and they would kind of hide them under the ground. Anyway, I noticed that the airfield there was not closed down, that it was actually being well kept, and that watching there for a while, I'm watching C-5As land on that field. And what are they bringing in? What's going on here? Well, I did a Freedom of Information Act a number of times and got nothing. Finally, make a very long story short, I found evidence through documents and through phone calls of connecting with a person at the field who actually talked about large shipments of cattle coming in on the and I tried to get a lot of verification on this. I found out that part of the agency that was operating out of that area was the United States Department of Agriculture. And they were shipping in large numbers of cattle on C-5As into that field being taken out and taken to areas that this person didn't know. And I found, I've got documents on it. All the documentation I was not able to obtain because they kept on leading me around and delaying things. And when I finally got them to admit that the documentation existed, they said that they only keep their documents for a certain length of time and then they shred them, which they did. So the next thing I did with Bob Pratt, who was the late Bob Pratt, who was, you know, alive then, we went out to the area and I showed him the area and I said, Bob, I'm going to go in there and find out what's going on. He says, you're going to get arrested. I said, well, then we'll know what's going on, right? And he was like all upset. No, no, you can't do that. You can't do that. So I ended up, you know, climbing the fence and going in. And as soon as I got within about 20 feet down the road, a military police came up and they brought me into an area and they questioned me for about an hour. And Bob was waiting outside and they let me go, you know, after that.
You know, you're incorrigible, aren't you? You're incorrigible that you keep doing this. You keep wanting to follow the military.
But the amazing thing was is that when I was in this debriefing room, two plainclothesmen came in with a file, and they had a file on everything about me. They were going over who I was and what I did and so on and so on. And they were saying, you know, there's the National Security Act and so on and so on. And finally, you know, they just let me go, and they said, if you come back again, we'll have criminal charges against you. And, of course, I did not go back trespassing. But I remember going out there, Bob Pratt pacing back and forth. He was like, he was very upset because he knew that this was a secure area and that I was going to get in trouble.
The ever-curious Phil Imbrogno joining us this week, our co-host, before he gets arrested for national security violations, our co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack! Attack! Of the Rockaways. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockaways lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans a galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack of the Rockaways is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack. Of the Rockaways, a novel in the grand science fiction tradition.
Question: what would you rather drink? Acidic water, which burns holes in your body and causes loss of bone mass, or alkaline water, which promotes high energy and vibrant health? The answer is clear. And if you're drinking acidic water, you're helping cancer cells and bacteria to grow out of control. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using Plasma pH Drops is the best way to alkalize your water and help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy alkaline level. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, or cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or by calling 269-409-1776. Again, 269-409-1776.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
All types of batteries for all types of gadgets. We'll say it again. All types of batteries for all types of gadgets. Electronics, toys, flashlights, computers, accessories, and more are at BatteryStation.com. Whatever type battery you need, alkaline, lithium, gel cell, NiCad, metal hydride, sealed lead acid, and more are at BatteryStation.com. Our homepage gives you quick access to ham, marine, police, fire, and aviation batteries. Plus, choose from our great selection of LED flashlights with no bulb to ever burn out and much longer battery life. Find many top brands, including Streamlight, Pelican, Surefire, Novatec, Gerber, and more at BatteryStation.com. You'll also find the most popular brands of ammunition and watertight cases for storing guns, food, electronics, survival gear, and more at BatteryStation.com. Call 417-257-7799. That's 417-257-7799. You will be surprised when you visit BatteryStation.com.
Tired of searching for great talk radio?
Search no more.
I just want to hear more of it.
We are the GCN Radio Network.
Yes, yes, yes.
You're in the Paracast. You never know what's going to happen next.
Phil Imbrogno, author of Files from the Edge, who takes matters into his own hands with on-site research, even if the military is present. He's there. Maybe he wants to become the next James Bond, if they ever make another movie about it. Our co-host
Somebody
is
called me the James Bond of the paranormal.
The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberger in the PowerCast. Okay, so Mr. Bond.
James Bond.
Or is it Bond? James Bond. I can't do that very well. People say I do lousy imitations of everything. I even do a lousy imitation of myself.
What I find interesting about this whole scenario is they were flying C-5, one of the largest planes humans have ever built, flying cattle into a secure area. What's wrong with that picture?
C-5, yeah, C-5A galaxies. And, you know, these C-5As were secretly going into that area, so no one really knew they were flying over the area. Now, the funny part about this is that they would take the flight path that would lead them over Pine Bush, New York, and all of these people would go out to Pine Bush and look at these C-5As coming and landing in the Stewart and think they were giant UFOs. And the late Ellen Crystal had them on videotape trying to convince me that they were giant UFOs, and I told her they were C-5As landing at Stewart.
And what did Ellen think of that? I knew her. You know what? She was also a fan of Star Trek, I remember. She'd go to these Star Trek conventions in the 1970s. That's where I first encountered her. But, okay, so when you told her, hey, it's a C-5, what did she say?
Well, she didn't want to accept it. She told me that UFOs can take the shape of planes, and that this is what, and I said, then what's the difference of, you know, videotaping it anyway? Planes can be UFOs, and UFOs could be planes. No difference. And I had all the, you know, the information to document, because I saw these C-5As coming and landing, and I saw them at their flight path coming over the Pine Bush area. And all of these people would run out the Pine Bush, go in this one particular area, see these C-5s coming over, and videotaping them, all thinking they're these giant UFOs that are landing in the area in Pine Bush, when they
Bruce
were nothing
Cornett
more
too.
Than the C-5As. But the thing is that what were the C-5As bringing in? Yes, the C-5As were also, they were bringing in large shipments of cattle.
Now, I want to ask you here, okay, because we're hearing about the cattle. Why? Do they want to start a local farm?
I don't know, but the thing is that The area there was operated by the CIA, the Department of the Navy, and the United States Department of Agriculture, the USDA. And the USDA was there because the cattle was coming in. Where they were going to, well, during my investigation, is that they were being shipped out from there in trucks to various locations unknown. I don't know why the cattle was coming in. But the thing is that once again, we connect an area that has a great number of UFO sightings with, you know, cattle and mutilations and so on. I don't know. The aliens like beef? I don't know.
Lip and eyes stew. But what did Bruce Cornett think? I know he was up at Pine Bush working with Ellen at the time. Of course, Dr. Bruce Cornett went on to be the last manager, I think, of NIDS. Go figure that one out. What did Bruce think about your explanation of what they were seeing out there? Because I know he was one of the ones that was running out there with Ellen.
Well, you know, Bruce and I hung out a number of times, and he was convinced that they're all UFOs and stuff like
that. Oh, my.
And he had a number of pictures, you know, of these things and time exposures moving across the sky. And, you know, with all due respect to Bruce, you know, I always felt that, you know, they were planes and the camera was shaken and so on. But, you know, you couldn't tell him that. And you know, and he believed that he saw something incredibly strange there. And, you know, that's his opinion. But I believe that a good percentage of those sightings out in that area were the C-5As coming into Stewart.
Well, since we're on the mutilation subject, another thing that, again, you don't hear much about when it comes to this, one of the most amazing UFO waves, I think, in the modern era of UFOs. One element that you don't hear much about is rumors of human mutilations that may have been investigated by authorities in the area. Do you care to comment on that?
Yes, and I know where you're going with that because it stems out that along the Taconic Parkway and Putnam Valley during the sightings, there were a number of people that were murdered for a practical world that were mutilated.
Not to mention thousands of kids had disappeared.
And this led to a number of different stories being proposed by residents in the area that there was some type of crazed killer out in Fahnestock Park. And but the sighting, the mutilations, as they were, the murders were kept secret by the state police. And we don't know how many people were actually involved in this, but I know there are at least four. And that case has been completely closed. The documents have been sealed.
Hmm. Well, how about all the thousands of kids that were reported disappearing from the Upper Westchester County area in the mid to late 80s? I seem to recall some pretty astounding numbers that were floated around at the time. Did you ever do any work looking into the high amount of disappearance cases?
I've heard of a lot of kids disappearing, a lot of people disappearing, but I really didn't look too far into it. It interests me, and at that time, Peter Gersten was quite interested in what was going on there. And, you know, back in 1984, we had a get-together, a sort of town meeting in Brewster at the Henry Wells Middle School in regards to the UFO activity and the paranormal activity taking place in the Hudson Valley.
I should interrupt that Peter Gersten is a lawyer from New York. He now lives in Arizona, and he was instrumental in getting loads of Freedom of Information documents from the government on UFOs.
Yes, and, you know, at this meeting, you know, we had over 1,500 people show up, and 900 filled out reports that they had encounters. And I believe to this day it was the largest gathering of a UFO sort of topic in history. And we had so many people show up that the auditorium at the school could not hold them. People were waiting outside and lined up outside. And the main purpose was to collect reports from people who would not come forward and to educate the public about the UFO experience. We had, you know, Bud Hopkins talking there, Larry Fawcett, Whitley Strieber came and gave a talk, and I gave a talk. And Alan Hynek was there. He gave a talk about UFOs, so the people were educated about the UFO phenomena, and they were more willing now to come forward and talk about their experiences, which they kept silent.
Okay, well, looking further at this here, and we're kind of segueing away from the cattle mutilation stuff, I wanted to maybe look at this in perspective. There have been stories that you see less UFO-related activities, particularly here in the 21st century. And a lot of the stuff in your book, you're talking about the 80s and the 90s. So in recent years, what sort of stuff, what types of cases have you been seeing?
I'm seeing more cases of close encounters. And many of the people who have come forward to me claiming contact cases with some type of alien dimensional intelligence, many of them have had UFO sightings back in the 80s. So these are people who originally started off with a UFO sighting and now are having these high strangeness cases. Many of the cases involve what we would consider alien-like visitors walking into bedrooms at night and taking people. And the number of cases that have come forward since that time are actually astounding.
One of the things I always like to see separated when you talk about encounters at night in your bed and you see this creature come to you, or maybe you have an awareness of being taken aboard a spacecraft, how much of that is maybe sleep paralysis?
Well, a certain percentage of it does involve sleep paralysis. And but in many of the cases, there people are alert. I even have a number of cases in which, you know, there were husband and wife, and they were both experienced sleep paralysis, and they had the so-called same dream. So, you know, there's really something interesting going on here, and it involves many of the people who originally had a UFO encounter back in the 80s.
We'll get into more of that in a moment. We have Phil Imbrogno. He's author of Files from the Edge. A reminder, you can find more of the things that we do at theparacast.com with a T-H-E, theparacast.com, where you can download hundreds of episodes of the show free of charge. We have co-host Christopher O'Brien with us this week. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you own an Apple iPhone and love to listen to your favorite programs on GCN, I've got good news for you. I'm proud to announce that GCN has a brand new iPhone app available for our dedicated listeners at GCNlive.com. Listen to your favorite hard-hitting GCN programs live or on demand right on your iPhone. And the best part? The GCN iPhone app can be yours absolutely free. Download the iPhone app today by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.